And good morning. Once again, want to say good morning to you all and welcome you here to City Church. We're so glad that you're here with us and to be able to join together in worship and to be reminded, as we just sang, of what is true and where our hope truly lies. We are so glad to see you, and my name is Ryan. I'm one of the pastors here at City Church. If I haven't had a chance to meet you, as I say every week, I would love that opportunity just to say hello, to get to know you a little bit, to answer any questions you might have, whether it be about the sermon or the text or perhaps about our church. We'd love that chance to just encourage you in any way. As you can see on the screen behind me, we are continuing and we are actually finishing this morning our study in the book of Daniel. And so I want to congratulate all of you who have been with us from the beginning. If you're not a guest and you've been here for the last number of months, we have journeyed our way through this book, and I pray and hope that it has been as much of an encouragement to you as it has been to me. If you are wanting to catch up with us, though, you can go back, and wherever you find a podcast, you can just look up City Church, and you can find this series there. You can go to our website also and be directed there and catch up and just sort of re-walk through this book if you'd like to learn more and study with us going backwards. As we come to Daniel chapter 12, and I invite you to open your Bibles there now, we will pick up, of course, where we left off. And at the end of our time last week, we were looking at the back half of Daniel chapter 11. And in Daniel's chapters 10, 11, and 12, what we are reading of is a vision that was given to Daniel about what would happen in the end. This vision, we can know, was recorded. Daniel received this vision. He was living under the rule of Cyrus. Some of you might remember that from some of the prophecies that we walked through earlier in this book. But under the rule of Cyrus, Daniel is alive. And the events that we looked at the end of chapter 11 and these events that are unfolding even future, they actually occurred, many of those events, 400 plus years later. And so there's this great span of history that points to, that Daniel points to through his prophecy. And we call some of that, that's the near-term fulfillment of the prophetic vision that Daniel is given. The rule of Antiochus IV. Antiochus came in. He was an evil ruler who brought great destruction and ultimately to the people of God and the Jerusalem and the temple. He tore down the altar, ceased all worship, ceased proper sacrifice for the Jews, brought about, built a new altar, dedicated it to Zeus, sacrificed pigs on this altar, brought destruction, murdered many Jews. There was tremendous evil that occurred. Again, told about to Daniel, shown to Daniel. This begins to occur almost 400 years later. Well, in the far term, what Antiochus, as we looked at Daniel chapter 11, Antiochus was simply a foretaste, a bit of a pointer to an even greater evil that would come upon the earth at the end of times through the person or the individual known as the Antichrist. We aren't explicitly told exactly who that is, but this Antiochus figure and all of the evil he brings on the earth and brings to God's people is what's called a typology. It's a typological view of this end of times event that would happen much, much later in human history. But here's the hopeful end of Daniel chapter 11. If you were with us last week, you remember these final words of that chapter. Yet he shall come to his end with none to help him. Even like Antiochus, who died and had no one to help him, even the Antichrist will have none to help him, and he too will be put down. And this is such a hopeful reminder to us of the victory that is ours. Well, that victory is shown to Daniel even more clearly here in Daniel chapter 12. Yes, there will be wars, but there will also be victory, and ultimately there will be rest. And we're going to see all of those things as we study Daniel chapter 12 this morning. So if you're able, out of reverence for God's word, I'd like to invite you to stand as I read this final chapter in the book of Daniel. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who was charge over your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream? How long shall it be till the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and a half time. And that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, O my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? He said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. And from that time that the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. But go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your word, and we thank you for the opportunity to gather together, to submit our lives under the authority of your word and to be taught by you, to be shown the hope of our life found in you. Lord, as we study your word, may it remind us that you are the one who establishes the days and numbers them, and there is not a day that occurs that is outside of your perfect sovereign will. So we thank you. As we struggle through this life, even now strive to understand this future that you have foretold for us, to grow in wisdom and understanding. Most of all, Lord, I pray that we would grow in hope, in the hope that you rule and reign, and that we will one day experience the victory of your life given for us and taken up again. Thank you for what you have done for us, Jesus. May these words, written many, many years ago, remind us of the hope that we have in you. I pray all these things in Christ's victorious and beautiful name. Amen. You may be seated. Once again, what we are reading here is the final stanza of a vision that Daniel has received, and we have read over the last number of weeks, beginning in chapters 10 all the way through the end. And we've come to this moment where he says, at that time. This at that time is pointing backwards to that end of chapter 11, where the Antichrist has come and is waging war against God's people. And at that time, Daniel is told that there will be one Michael who will arise. You might remember, if you've been with us for a few weeks, that when we see the prince referenced here, the great prince who has charge of your people, that it seems that God's people have been assigned angels, and particularly here, the archangel Michael is assigned to God's people to protect and to go to war on their behalf. And so God is telling Daniel that Michael, the great prince, will rise up and will go to war and do battle against the enemy of God in order to protect and preserve his people. And at that time, there will be so much trouble, such trouble that the world has never seen. No nation has ever experienced this. This, of course, is on the heels of hearing about the great destruction that Antiochus would bring. And we know, of course, looking back in history, we know that that was great. But here it said, this destruction, these trials, these wars would be much greater than even that. All of this tells us and teaches us that there will be wars. Of course, we can also see in another apocalyptic literature, Revelation chapter 12, points to this same reality, this same truth of what's going to happen in the end. Look with me at Revelation 12, verses 7 through 9. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. What it seems that Daniel is being told here, and we see this language again mirrored in Revelation, is that Satan himself is doing battle with Michael in the heavenlies, and Michael defeats him and casts him down, will defeat him and cast him down to the earth, and at that time he is going to come and rule and reign over the earth and bring about a terror that the world has never seen before. This is what will happen in the end of times. This is what Daniel sees. Gabriel tells the one who asked the question later at the end of the chapter, at the bank of the river, that there is going to be days, a time, a times, and a half time. Again, you might remember that we learned that a time refers to a year in biblical language. A times, that would be multiple of a time, is 2 years, and a half time, a half a year. And so Daniel is told by Gabriel that there will be 3.5 years. This understanding that many biblical scholars that we have, that there will be a tribulation here on the earth that will last 3.5 years, comes from this text. 3.5 years. But there's also some days that are referenced. Later he says, and from the time that the regular burnt offerings is taken away, this is verse 11, and the abomination makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. And blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. There will be wars, and it seems that there is a number of days that are given for these wars to occur. 3.5 years, 1,290 days, 1,335. And you're all asking yourselves, I did not realize we came here for a math lesson. Well, what God is revealing to Daniel and teaching us, and the reason this is preserved, we must remember, why is this in our Bibles? It's a rightful question, a worthwhile question to ask. Anytime you open your Bible and you study God's Word, ask yourself, why did God preserve this text for us today? These days are quite challenging to understand. 1,290 days would be 3.5 years plus 30 days if you averaged a month being 30 days. 30 days times, or 1,290 days divided by 30 equals 3.5 years plus extra 30 days. 1,335 days would add another 45 days. And so we have these two sets of days that are given here, and we're told that this is going to be some description of this time of tribulation and trial. And there has been debates over what these days refer to for thousands of years. Nearly 2,000 years, scholars and theologians have wrestled with, what do these days refer to? Is 3.5 years just a rounded up version of 1,290 days? Or is there going to be 3.5 years and then an extra 30 days for Jesus to do something? And then for 45 days, the people that can last for that extra 45 days, there's something there for them. We don't know. That's the ultimate answer. God's word hasn't made explicitly clear exactly what he is describing here in the number of days. Our brother Don Wagner shared a picture on his social media that I thought was quite fitting for this text and our wrestling with this question. Knowledge is knowing that tomatoes are fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put them in a fruit salad. There are things that we can know, and we should strive, and it's worthwhile to aspire to understand God's word and to know these things. But there comes a point in time where there's an end of our ability to know. Again, scholars have debated this for 2,000 years. What exactly does this mean? What are these numbers referencing? And there are some things that we can discern and can understand, but there are some things that we can't know. And wisdom is understanding, why is this for us? And the answer to that question is, God wants us to know that while we might not fully understand what 1,290 days represents, and we might not fully understand exactly what's going to occur in 1,335 days, we do know that there is a God who is sovereign over all of those things and established those days and numbers those days and knows exactly what he intends to do in those days. That there is a limit to evil that God will allow. And as this great trial and these wars against God's people come, that God has not taken his hands off the wheel and he is not relieved of his sovereignty over those events. And we can have confidence in that. And while we read this word, and we might not on this side of history at this moment in time be able to fully grasp, what we can know is the one who does know. And that is God, our Father. It reminds me of when I would travel with my grandpa. I'd get in the car every summer. I got to spend a long amount of time with my grandparents, and we'd go on road trips all over the country. And when I was a young boy, we'd get in the car, and I'd say, "Hey, Gramps," that's what I called him. "Hey, Gramps, how far are we going today?" "Oh, it'll be about 700 miles. I had no idea what 700 miles meant. He could have told me we were traveling 1,000,000 miles. He could have told me we were traveling 50 miles. As a child, I had no concept of what that meant or what that looked like. How long are we going to go? "About 8.5 hours. I still didn't know what 8.5 hours really meant. Now, at the end of the day, I very much understood what 8.5 hours felt like. I didn't know. Sometimes, as we come to our Bibles, we come to this place where I don't fully know. We aren't sure exactly. There are many theories that can be debated as to what those days mean. But what we can know, as we look at the purpose of this text and look at why, again, this is preserved for us in our Bibles, is that God does know the end. One of my favorite recent movies, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning, the sequel came out, or the second half of that came out this month. But a few years ago, the first half of that movie came out, and one of my favorite scenes is near the end of the movie. Yes, this is a spoiler alert. Ethan Hunt, he is in a great battle on a train. And this battle on a train is one of the most epic battles ever, I believe, recorded in movie history, as he fights up the train, on top of the train, and then fights his way back through the train. And it's 20 minutes of punches and throwing and falling, literally grand piano sliding through, coming nearly to kill him. We don't know, and the enjoyment of entertainment and movies is, we don't know exactly how is he going to survive that fight. But what we do know is, because they told us Final Reckoning was coming out, that he would live. We don't know all of the trials and the turmoil and the pain and the suffering that we will endure in this life. We do know that there will be evil, there is evil, and it continues to exist, and there will be continued days. You might be in the middle of one of those trials of your life right now. You're here, and you came because you're pleading, "God, I need some hope." Well, here's good news, friends. There is hope that while you walk through those days, and potentially in the future, if we are here on this earth, or we're not, we're already with Jesus, when this evil is reigning over the earth, and the evil and the challenges and the trials that you walk through in this life, there is a limit to those days, and God knows those days, he has numbered those days, and he is with you in those days. This is the hope. Again, why did God ever tell Daniel at all? He's telling him of events that would not happen for 400 years, long after Daniel was with him. But they were preserved for us and for his people so that they would know. I told Daniel this would happen long before they would, so that you would know that I am in charge, that I am sovereign over those things. The message is clear. God is sovereign. And this is where we see the hope in this chapter. There will be wars, yes, but there will also be victory. Look at the back half of verse 1, the third sentence in the text here. He's told him that Michael's going to have this great battle, but then he says, "But at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." Yes, there will be victory. There is a time coming where your people, where we, God's people, will be delivered. And everyone whose name is written in the book will be delivered. In ancient history and sort of cultural times of in that time, the norm was to record the names of the citizens of a city in a book. And so if you walked into City Hall in Melissa, if Melissa existed back in the ancient days, you could walk into City Hall, you could say, "I'd like to see the book." They'd open the book and they'd say, "Here are all the citizens of this city." And cities would record these so that they could account for people and they knew how many people were in their cities. And obviously the rulers of the day would know how many people they were taking care of. And God's word uses that same language, but here's what he records for us. Those that are written in the book, these are the names of those who are written in the book, are the citizens of the eternal kingdom, the eternal city of God. Everyone whose name is written in the book will be delivered. This is the first message or the first communication of the resurrection that we see in Scripture. All the way back in the Old Testament, you thought the resurrection was something that we talked only about in Easter and only after Jesus' life in the New Testament? No, the resurrection is pointed to over and over and over again. This is the first time in the Old Testament where it's talked about that there will be a resurrection, both of those of us who are alive, called up to be with God, and those who are asleep in the dust of the earth, awake to everlasting life. Some to glory and some to shame. There will be victory. This is what Jesus talked about in John chapter 5. Truly, truly, I say to you, the hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him, this is Jesus, authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Don't marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who hear are in the tombs, when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, and those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Clearly, Jesus, when he speaks these words, has this text of Daniel in his mind. That there is a resurrection, there is life coming. The war won't rage on forever, and there is a victor in the war, and his name is Jesus. And all of us who have put our faith in him, the reason we've put our faith in him is that our names are written in the book. Your name, as a follower of Jesus, the one who is granted by the Father to judge and to give life, has written your name in his book as a citizen of his eternal kingdom. This is why Paul could declare to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15 that Christ has given us such a victory. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom of God, those citizens, those names written in the book, to the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And look at these last words. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Yes, there is evil. There is evil, and there will continue to be evil until the end of times, but there will be a victory, and that victory is Christ's. And he's proven that when he rose from the grave, when he put death to death. What a hopeful message we receive from Daniel, that our names are written in the book. And because of what Christ has done, we shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. Those who turn many, those who make disciples and invite others to follow along, like the stars forever and ever. And then he tells Daniel, verse 4, shut up the words and seal the book until the end. This illustrates another cultural norm. When any ruler would write a decree or establish something, the scroll would be rolled up and he would put his seal, and it could not be broken. God has put his seal on us. We know this through the seal of the Holy Spirit, which would come in later times. The book has been sealed, our lives secured. And because of this, Daniel understands the victory that is his in spite of all of the trials that he's walking through, which tell us, yes, there will be victory. And like Daniel, for Daniel and for us, there will be rest. Look at how this book ends. The answer to Daniel's question about how all of it's going to unfold and when it's going to unfold, he hears in verse 13, but go your way till the end, Daniel, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days. That word shall rest, Daniel is told, you will die. You will rest in the ground. those who have fallen asleep. But notice, he says, you shall rest, but he also says, you shall stand. Because Daniel is told that he will stand at his place. Daniel could die well, knowing that death was not the end of his life, because he would stand where God would place him. And because of Jesus and what he has done for us, we too can die well, knowing that Christ has victory over that last enemy. Death itself has been put to death. And because we are in him, we too have victory. This body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. We know the victory, and ultimately we know the rest that we will receive in Christ. So the same God who was sovereign over Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, the Medes and the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans, ultimately all of human history, he has said that there will be times of great tribulation and trial, and those things will continue on the earth until this culmination of a point in time, sometime in the future, where it will exceed anything that we've ever seen. But because of Jesus, there will be an end to that evil. There will be victory over that evil, and there will be rest for God's people. And we get to experience that rest, not just in eternity waiting for that. We get to experience that today. This is the hope and the power of the resurrection that we get to enjoy as followers of Jesus today. So as we come to the table this morning to receive and be reminded of what Christ has done for us, let that hope encourage you. I pray as we come to the table that you might spend some time, even before walking up and receiving the elements, that you might spend some time with the Lord and just remember that, yes, there are trials, and you may be walking through one of those trials in this very moment. There are painful things that you're walking through. But as you do that, remember that Christ has died, and yes, Christ has risen. Jesus gave us the ordinance of the Lord's Supper so that we could remember and remind ourselves and remind one another over and over and over again, that while we walk through the trials of life, they don't have the final word. He has the final word. And we need to remember that. And we are so often quick to forget that. And so come and receive from the table and remember what Christ has done. For those of you that are guests with us and haven't received communion as part of our family before, I want to give you just some instructions on this. Our elders will serve the elements, and we will then receive the elements all together once everyone has been served. I invite you again, as the worship team begins to lead us, just spend some time again in prayer and spend some time just considering what Christ has done for you. If you're not a follower of Jesus, God's word would say that this table is reserved for all of those who know Christ, who remember what he has done for them. And so our invitation for you is to just look around the room. Remember what Christ is, or to consider as you see others remembering what Christ has done for them. And maybe have a conversation with one of those friends, maybe your own family member who comes to the table, and ask them, why do you put your hope in Jesus? This isn't some religious exercise, is what we want you to know. This is the body of Christ in submission to God's word, following through with the commandment that he gave us to remember. And so we come to remember. Our invitation to you is just to sit and perhaps take one more step of faith beyond the step of faith you took to come here. Ask God to speak. Pray and just ask to hear from him. Those of you on the outsides of the room, our elders will serve that side of the table first, and so just invite you to make your way up to the front. And then once the wings have been served, we're still a small room with a lot of people, then they'll move here to the center, and you guys can come to the center and receive the elements. If you need a gluten-free option, that's right here at the center of the table, so you can just bypass wherever the bread is offered and come straight to the center. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to help us remember to have hope today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you that we can be reminded where our hope lies. That yes, there will be war. There is evil. There is pain and suffering in this life. But we can know that you, God, the author of time, have numbered those days. Because of what Christ has done, we can know that there will be victory and rest for us. As we come to your table this morning as an act of remembrance, an act of worship, an act of giving thanks, Jesus, for what you did for us. When you put the final enemy, death itself, to death, destroying it on our behalf. We thank you that we can know, because of your death and your victorious resurrection, that our names are written in the book. We are citizens of the eternal kingdom of God. And none that you have drawn to yourself will be lost. So we give you thanks for that this morning. Thank you for this time. We pray in Christ's name.
Thanks for listening to the preaching of God's Word from City Church Melissa. We meet Sunday mornings at 8:30, 10 a.m., and 11:30 a.m., and we look forward to meeting you there soon. City Church Melissa, for the glory of God, the good of the city, and the hope of the world.